This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Tuesday Takeover with CeCe Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to the Tuesday Takeover. My name is CeCe Coleman. I am here with the lovely Gavin. He's my mate. Say hello, Gavin.
Hello, everybody. Hi, CeCe. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I can't wait. This is going to be great.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
So we're here for the next 2 hours. We've got some amazing guests. But firstly, I want to start with Gavin. Gavin, what's going on? How are you?
I'm great. Although I failed to fit my workout in today, so I'm feeling very guilty. I've been eating cake all afternoon.
Well done. Good. Same here.
Do you know what? Yeah, it's good, isn't it? It's good. Sometimes you've got to treat yourself. Haven't you?
You absolutely have. You've got to do the workout / don't, and then you've got to go and eat the cake. That would be the ideal, right?
Yeah.
But you've done it in the other way.
What? Other way round,
other
exactly.
Way round?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's. I think cake first, workout later, maybe. But hey, other than that though, all good. Still trying to get the best out of the sunshine at the moment. I'm wearing shorts right now, but you know what?
It's hot today.
It's not bad, is it? It's not bad. It's good. I think we're on the right path. I think we're in the right train of thought here with this t-shirt and the shorts. So yes, let's keep this vibe going on.
You look great.
Thank you. As do you.
I did see on your Instagram, was it last week, that you are now shredding? Is
yeah.
this a thing?
Oh my God, right. To be honest, do you know what I've started doing? I've started running 7K in the morning each day when I wake up. Just after I wake up.
This is before the cake.
just before the cake.
Good.
Checking. I do break halfway through the day, to be honest. Chocolate and cake comes in all the time. But yeah, 7K just around Brockwell Park in South London. Yeah, just get up and go. Literally don't even think about eating anything, putting TV on or anything like that, checking the old phone, just get up, get into the kit and then go. And there's quite a few hills up and down, like, you know, through the path. And it's like, I feel great after it. And I feel like I'm burning the fat from doing it.
So how long does this take you?
It takes me around 20-ish minutes or so, 25 minutes or so, I'd say. Maybe, actually, that's wishful thinking. It's more like half an hour.
Because that's what they say, isn't it? They say just do a little bit. Don't go crazy. Just do that short burst. Because then your mindset is, I don't have to slug it for an hour in the gym.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
just going to do a short 25, whatever, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Come back and then take pictures of yourself and put them on Instagram. Say,
I know.
I've shredded.
Well, do you know something? I was a bit nervous about putting that picture up because I thought I just have this sort of mild body dysmorphia thing going on at the moment. I'm a little bit like, oh, I don't know if I should put this up, but I thought, sod it. I feel all right, sod it, just do it.
Well, no, I will say personally, you did look amazing, but I'm glad that you brought that up because one of our guests today is a lady from Curvy Kate, and she's going to be talking about body confidence. She's going to be body image, why we feel that way.
Yeah.
She is going to be with us at 4:15.
Can't wait for that one.
So as I said, she works for Curvy Kate, and she is all about body positivity. She's a pro bra fitter, and she actually fit my bra, the one I'm actually wearing now.
Did she?
She did, yeah. She's very good. So she's in my boobs, so let's just get that one out there. Yeah.
Do you know what? I was checking out sort of the stuff that they did, and it was just nice.
Changed that. I was checking out that stuff, yeah.
And it was just I had a legitimate reason to look at boobs for research. So
oh,
there we go.
You poor thing. you poor guy.
And then when we were promoting the show today, like a few people were like, oh, so you've got some good guests on, and you're going to be talking about boobs. For you to be researching that one. I was just like, yep, I think so.
Boobs, noobs. That's the man's version, isn't it?
It
the
is,
moobs.
Yeah.
Have you ever had boobs in your life? Moobs, sorry, in
moobs.
Your life?
Moobs. I feel like I've got moobs going on right now, to be honest.
You but, don't have moobs.
Oh, I don't
you
know.
Don't.
Moobs are like part of the dad bod movement, aren't they? Aren't they, these days?
I love a dad bod.
Yeah.
I really, really do. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
No.
It might be an age thing. Maybe it's because I'm just trying to make myself feel better. I'm like, I'm in that category now where people might look at me like a mum. What do they call it? A MILF, isn't
MILF,
it?
Yeah.
MILF, yeah. Do you know what? I was walking the streets in Streatham, and I was with my sister, and this guy comes over on a bike, and he's like, it's late at night. He's like, oh, we're talking to us, and we're like, oh God, you know, get away kind of thing. He's like, oi, are you a mum? And I was like, no. He's like, you're fit if you're a mum. And I was like, no, that's actually my older sister. Thank you very much.
Oh my God, no way.
So I'm like, that's kind of a compliment / not.
I know, it's a backhanded compliment, isn't it?
Good looking mum, but I'm not a mum, and that was my older sister. Anyway.
It's all about being a MILF or a DILF.
MILF or a DILF, yeah. I'm up for a DILF, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm going to tell you who we've got on today. So as I said, we've got the Curvy Kate at 4:15. We will then be talking to these two American comedians. They are hilarious. They've currently got a show out at the Soho Theatre. They are Natasha Leggero and Moshi Keisha. At 5 o'clock, we've got the stunning Rafika Love. She is a blogger and a model. She's got a lot of followers on Instagram. She's also about positivity. And then at 5:30, we've got the Marcus Speller, who I believe you know.
I do, yeah. He's a great guy. He's a great guy, yeah. Marcus is amazing.
So he does the Football Ramble, is that right?
Yeah, Football Ramble and another podcast show called Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers.
Right,
or AQQA, as I just say that to him all the time, just to make sure it's easier to say. Isn't it? AQQA.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing show, that one, because I'm doing his work for him here, aren't I?
You're just plugging it.
Yeah, come on and be like, that's it, cheers,
guys. That's it, cheers, yeah. Thanks, guys, yeah.
But it's just, it's kind of really cool, interesting subjects and topics that you kind of like, that crop up in daily life.
Yeah.
But there isn't really necessarily a defined answer for it. So some of the things they've had on have had, like, you know, what makes a good wedding?
So
these are the topics they've had on rather than the guests. But is hair really that important? As in, I guess, hairstyles or hair in general?
Is hair important?
Well, I don't know. Now that it's been raised, I'm not entirely sure, actually. I was always a bit obsessive about hair.
Because look at all these compliments I've given you today. You've got good hair. Like, you've got thick hair. Thank you. I really try with mine, so thank you. I'll take that.
Yeah.
But how much effort do you put into your look every day?
The hair look, not much, you know. I used to have blonde braids, like, going back in the day, days.
Blonde braids?
Yeah, blonde braids.
So plaits, right?
Yeah, plaits, yeah.
So
yeah.
How long was your hair for you to have plaits?
It was probably, like, I would say sort of cheek length, like, just past my eye.
Okay, so, like, long curtains
Yeah.
That was a look, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
years and years ago.
Because of my hair type, it was crazy. It was just like I'd been in a flipping, been dragged through a hedge every day.
Great.
So I had to do something with it. And then where am I going with this? Oh yeah, about hair. So and maintenance. So yeah, that took 7 hours to braid each time.
Wow.
So I used to take a lot more effort and you know, care into the old hair. But now it is literally like just have it cut in a certain way. I have it cut in a certain shape so it doesn't really go too far out of line. This is too much effort already just talking about it, isn't it?
Well, for those of you that don't really know who I am or what I do, the reason why I was talking to Gavin about looks and whatnot is because I work on an incredible show that I adore called First Dates. It's on Channel 4. And the premises for the show is people come in and they go on dates and they're immediately being judged by the way that they look. So this is why I asked you about, you know, presentation and whatnot. Mm. So when you're, just to clarify, you're still single, right?
I am.
Okay.
I am very much single. It's a very complicated situation, but I would
it's complicated,
but it's. If you were to put me in a category, it would be single.
So on Facebook, would you say it's complicated? Single?
I haven't thought about the old Facebook status.
It's been a while, right?
That could be an opener. Maybe I should change it to single and see what happens.
So you haven't got a single?
No, it's nothing. It's just nothing. It's just blank.
You need to change that. That's another way, another avenue for people to get hold of you, to slide into the DMs. That's it.
Okay.
Is that what they
say? All right, I'm going to do that as soon as we finish off air.
Okay.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to see what happens. See what kicking the hornet's nest will do and what it will bring back.
So first impression. No, I'm with you. So first impressions on a date, how important are they for you?
Oh, first impressions on a date.
Yeah.
Oh, my, massively. They're hugely important. I think I look for things now that I just know I'll be able to connect with someone on.
Okay. So someone's walked in, you're sat at the bar chilling, looking cool as.
Oh,
someone's walked in, you're like leg up, arm up, like drink in your hand, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
That first impression, what does she need to look like? What does she need to make you,
I think something bold in what they're wearing, something colourful, something that stands out. It doesn't necessarily have to be about what they look like, to be honest now. Honestly, Cece, I've changed so much in how I look at these things. It's more about the chat and more about what they...
The connection.
More about how nice they are and how kind they are. Seriously.
It's so weird.
Like, I don't know, maybe it's just a phase or something. I don't know. But I just look for niceness now. And someone who is obviously attractive, who I find, you know, who I fancy.
Yeah.
If they've got that and they've got... If you've got those two things, then I'm like in. I'm all in.
I think you're honestly on the right track. I remember my dad said to me, find someone who's kind.
Really?
That's all he said. There was nothing else with it. Just find someone who's kind.
Yeah.
Because that's what you need after a long day at work.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
you need when you're going through stuff. That's what you need when you're going through happy times. Just someone who understands you and who is kind.
Having said that, I did go on a date with someone who was really kind and really nice and was quite attractive at the start of the year. And all the ingredients were there, but she started to annoy me after a while.
Why? What did she do?
Oh,
she's too kind.
Too clingy, too kind, too wanted too much attention. But it wasn't to the point where, you know, I like the attention. I'm sure we all do, don't we? But it got to the point where I was just thinking, oh my God, like, I just wish you would meet someone else. It's terrible. I didn't want to end it or anything because I quite liked her company when we were together.
Yeah.
But it was at a point where I just thought, oh my God, like I am getting. I didn't have the courage to just kill it off and let her move on. It was terrible. It was bad on my part actually. But,
I feel for you.
But I think sometimes too much kindness and too much niceness is a bad thing. So it's that balance.
Balance.
Yeah.
Balance. Well, we are going to talk about balance, believe it or not.
I know.
So I'm going to play a song now, and we are going to get our first guest in, the lovely Katie Weir. So we will chat to you all in a bit.
Baby, let me explain to you what I'm saying.
What you saying?
It's not even like that.
It wasn't like that, but I saw you.
Baby, I don't love her.
You don't love me? You know what? I don't even want to talk to you.
She don't mean nothing to me.
I don't want
to
see your face.
She was just telling me.
I just want to see you walking through that
baby,
door.
Baby,
ain't nothing else to
why
say.
Why we gotta do it like this? Baby, damn.
Come home late. It seems you barely beat the sun. Tapping my shoulder. Thinking you gon' get you some. Smelling like some fragrance that I don't even wear. So if you want some loving, I suggest you go back there where you came from. Day to day with you is always something else. Working my nerve, God knows that I don't deserve what you put me through. Cause I've been so true to you. For you to come at me with another lame excuse. See, I heard it all before. All of your lies, all of your sweet talk. Baby this, baby that. But your lies ain't working now. Now, look who's hurting now.
Look who's hurting
I
now.
Had to shut you down.
Shut you down.
Shut you down.
Now
play the
trusted you for way too long, way too
way
long.
Too long.
But your lies ain't working, lies ain't working now.
Look who's hurting now.
See,
I had to shut you down. I had to shut you down.
Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Hi guys, we are back in the studio. I still have the lovely Gavin. He hasn't run away yet.
Not yet, not yet. Tried, but they locked the doors.
They locked the doors. I locked the doors. And we have our first guest. So our first guest is Katie Weir. I am not going to intro her too much because she can intro herself because she is incredible. So Katie, tell us, who are you? What do you do? Tell us everything.
Okay, so my name is Katie Weir, aka the Bra Whisperer. This is because I can tell a woman's bra size by just looking at her, which is pretty impressive, I think.
That's very impressive.
I also just love to make women feel good about their bodies, about life. Like, I'm just the number one positivity person. I love to spread the vibe. And
we
yeah,
love
that's,
that.
That's a lot about me.
The Bra Whisperer, though. The that's sick.
Isn't that?
Yeah.
If someone said to me, you're a whisper of something,
yeah,
I'd be like, I'd be so happy. Did you choose that? Did someone choose that for
no,
you?
No, so Curvy Kate, the brand that I'm the PR manager for, they chose Bra Whisperer. However, under my own business name, I'm the Bra Queen. So
oh,
yeah,
wow.
I've got a few, you know, just a few things to hype myself up with.
That's it, isn't it? That's it. It's so got to be done.
I have to ask this because Gavin will want to, but he can't. How yeah. many pairs of boobs do you think you've seen in your career?
Wow, I would say I'm going to push it to like 3,000.
Wow.
Maybe more.
That's good. Good number.
I fitted around 80 women in a day, and I was driving home, and it was like raining nipples in my head.
Oh, my God.
Was like, amazing. All I could see was nipples, which, yeah, like, it is amazing. And every bra fit I do, it's the response of the woman that's so incredible, and that's why I love to do it.
That's
like,
lovely.
It just makes me so happy.
So what do you... So you talk about body confidence, which is amazing. And we had a chat, so we met maybe a month ago when you fitted my bra. And I walked away from that feeling just really, really happy, really, really confident and quite inspired by you.
Oh, thank
and
you.
I was trying to figure out what it was. And I think it's a lot to do with your energy because you are so bubbly and lovely. And it's really easy to sort of feed that off of you. But also your story. So how did this all come about and why, really?
Okay, so I've been in the lingerie industry for 10 years. And when I was at uni, I studied international fashion marketing. Mm-hmm. I got a degree placement year with a lingerie brand. Within that year, I did the most epic stuff. Like, I sent bras to Kim Kardashian. She wore
wow.
them.
No way.
Yes.
Wow.
Like, I would say I changed her life when she was
you
pregnant.
Did.
She
you definitely
doesn't
changed
know
her
me,
life.
Kim, if you're listening.
This deserves. I'm so desperate to press this button. Oh, it's not that one. I'm so desperate to press this button. That's a button.
To be fair, the first button you pressed, a lot of people might have thought, okay, actually go with it. But no, but I'm a big fan of Kim K.
Yeah.
I got her once to actually to acknowledge a comment on one of her posts that I put on there. No, it was good. It was good. It was quite funny. Should I go into it? I may as well have started.
Go on then, Gavin. Here we go.
So she put a picture of her with her and Donatella Versace up. And she wrote the caption as "No one like her," and I wrote underneath it, "Oh my god, I thought that said no one likes her," and it got tens of thousands likes and comments, and she had to change it.
No, she didn't.
After like, obviously realising that was going virally promoted, it's quite funny.
Do you feel special?
I do. She
yes,
yeah,
Gavin.
She did.
She's blocked your Twitter handle.
Yeah. Not him, not that guy. God.
I've interviewed her, you know, once, Kim Kardashian. I've interviewed her. She's really nice. She's really nice, actually.
She does come across lovely. So basically, really, I saw an image of her when she was pregnant with North, and her body had obviously changed because she was having a baby. It's a first one. She just didn't look that confident in herself. And
really?
I was like, that's not Kim. Not the Kim I know from the mail online. That ain't her.
That's not the one I know.
I felt the vibe. So I contacted Jenna Communications, told them what I could offer and, you know, how I feel like what I do could benefit her life. And boom, they replied and they said, she can't come for a bra fitting, but we'll send you her dimensions. And from images and dimensions, I then sent a lot of bras over to her, which I thought she would like. Mm-hmm. And in the size I thought she would be. Next week, she runs off a plane. Her boobs are up really high. She's wearing a red dress. It's a low-cut plunging red dress. She's standing up straight. Her dress slips off her shoulder and it's the strap of my bra that I sent her.
Oh, my
So boom, and then Khloe pulls out bras from her closet in Keeping Up the Kardashians, and they're the ones I sent her.
Wow.
So that was kind of like, do you know what PR is for me? Because I thrive from that, from seeing someone wearing a bra, opening in a magazine, like, and seeing that you did that, and not only did you do it, but it was free. It's like, oh my god, this is amazing.
Wow.
Like, this is so good. So then I sort of got the job after university with the same brand, stayed there for 4 years, and then I went and became a PR manager for another lingerie brand. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to the Middle East and I was working in Kuwait for American Eagle Outfitters.
Wow.
So I moved into apparel. Obviously, it's a really quite oppressive state, and I couldn't do a lot. Definitely couldn't talk about tits or show them. So it was hard for me. I stayed there 2 years, and kind of my way of reaching out to women out there was in gyms, in places where I could talk about my passion. And I was in a gym, and these ladies were doing burpees, and unfortunately, they were just so uneducated that their breasts were falling out of the bras. Mm-hmm. And it was a women's only gym, so in a way it was fine, but in another way it was not fine. And I kind of asked to write the newsletter so that I could subliminally tell them about bra fitting and what to wear. And then all of a sudden, from that letter with my face on, women started coming up to me and talking to me and asking me, you know, these Kuwaiti ladies, can you help me? So then I bra whispered them, told them what they'd be, they ordered the bras, in the sports bras, and then like 2 weeks later when they arrived, they're all lifting up their top to me in the gym, like, look at my tits. So that was like, wow, amazing. But I knew at the same time,
Gavin, can't
it was time
this.
To go home.
He's sweating.
So after that, I came home to the UK and set up my own PR business, was doing bits, but just wasn't like feeling amazing about the projects I was working on. They didn't ignite this passion. Boobs did. Every conversation was back to boobs and bodies and making women feel good. So I set up my own bra fitting business, and I think I've bra fitted around 1,000 ladies in the year that I've had it going.
Wow.
And then in March I took up the job with Curvy Kate as their PR and content manager. So now I do boobs 24 hours a day.
You just keep going. This is amazing. Honestly, it's so lovely to hear. Like, you haven't stopped. You just keep going and keep going and keep going.
Yeah, and I actually put that down to vision boards.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because since I started doing vision boards.
What's a vision board then?
So my friend, she runs something called a goddess retreat, and you need to come with me to a goddess retreat. Yeah. But it's kind of like a finding yourself as a woman, and it's beautiful. But she sort of focuses on a vision board, which is a piece of paper. You go through magazines and you look at what, you know, inspires you.
Yeah.
And as a, how old was I when I did it? 27-year-old single woman. I was looking for the words boyfriend, husband, marriage, baby. I was looking for like the pictures of John Legend and Luna. Like, that was going to be my life. But as I flipped through the magazines, it was boss lady, empowerment, like all of this uplifting and all this other stuff that was coming at me. And I was like, do you know what? Maybe it's not my time to settle down. It's my time to go lift some spirits, bust some confidence.
Yeah.
So I made the mood board all about my business. And then within a year, it was up and running. It was like literally flying. And then I did another vision board about going on TV and being the bra person that women want to listen to. And then I was on Lorraine's show in May with Oti Mabuse
Incredible.
Talking about boobs for Carvey Kate and bra whispering. So vision boards, they
nice.
Keep you channeled.
Yeah.
Like, they
sounds amazing.
Really keep you on track.
So just to check, so you are single now?
I'm single.
She is single.
Oh, she's happy about it. Remember the one I told you about?
You did tell us a little story. Yeah. And he's gone.
He gone.
Okay. And has anybody else been sliding in the DMs?
Well, I did just get back from New York, and you have have to have a little, you know, different postcode, isn't it?
Okay. Oh, my word.
Okay, was this just a New York thing and now it's done? Or
honestly, I was eating Mexican with my friends after work. And the waiter is being so lovely. He's literally like, I just thought he was a bubbly guy, you know? And then my friends, he walked away and they were like, Katie, he's into you. And I'm like, no, he's not. He's just being cute because we're all pretty. And then he came back at the end of the meal and he bought a little book and he was like, so you can leave a compliment here or like whatever you want, you can leave in this book. So I was like, you know what? His vibe is great. So I left my Instagram handle.
Wow.
And then he slid in the DM and we were messaging all week kept on trying to meet up, but I was busy with work doing my thing until Friday night when he actually won me over by saying, do you want to go karaoke?
Oh, that is it. Take note, Gavin. Take note of all of this. Karaoke's the one. Right.
First date, karaoke on a Friday night in Times Square.
Amazing!
2 hours in a booth. I performed Pocahontas' Colours of the Wind.
Wow.
And he'll never forget me.
Gavin, would you ever chat up the waitress?
Yeah, of course, I definitely would. Yeah, and I would 100% do that.
Because I think
spontaneity is so big. I think in terms of like instinct, spark, and connection, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people miss opportunities because they don't believe in themselves or they get nervous. And I definitely think I find it really hard to get guys because I think I scare a lot of them because they're like, oh god, I can't talk to her because she's so loud.
She's so confident.
She knows herself, and like, oh, you know, and I'm like, come on. But then I'll go and get what I want at the same time because I'm not scared to go talk to them.
Yeah.
So where do you get this inner confidence from?
I would honestly say my parents are like my biggest cheerleaders. That's and they've lovely. Always said, go and do it. Whatever you want, do it. Try it. And you always know you've got a home to go to. Always, you know, we'll always look after you. Whatever happens, don't worry about it.
That's
so I think
lovely.
It comes from there. My mum's super positive and she's just like, you know, because I think I told you about I'm writing a book about every guy I've ever met.
Yeah.
So then when it goes wrong, she's like on the end of the phone going, don't worry, Katie. It's another chapter for the book. Like she's so calm.
I love that. And spinning it around.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I always look for the positives in life because you've only lived one life, so you might as well be, you know, try to be as happy as you can. And bad things happen, like, don't get me wrong, and I have those days where I wake up and I'm just like, oh, fuck this, like, but then I'll look for something that makes me happy, or I'll do a bra fitting and that reaction of that woman will then make me happy and give me worth.
Yeah.
So I think whatever you do, if you can feel like you're getting worth from your day.
This is something I've never really appreciated before, obviously because I don't go for bra things, but personally, but I didn't realise how much of an impact it has from, you know, fitting the right bra with the person who's going in for it. So, I mean, what sort of things do they come in with to you? And what do they like when they get the right bra as well?
Absolutely. Well, I think, obviously, I bra fit girls to women, and they've been on a crazy journey in life. It can be right at the start, and it could be like puberty's just hit, and these things have grown, and they don't know what's happening, and their mum's in the room, and I'll fit them, and I'll educate them. And for me, that journey there starts with you being positive about your body.
Yeah.
Me being that woman that she looks at thinking, she loves herself, and she's not, you know, super skinny. She's got big boobs and she's got moles and whatever it might be. I want that girl to look at me and think, I like her vibe. So then I bra fit her and I try to make it like a special experience and something she wants to go tell her friends about. Something like, do you know what, girls? We can all get a bra and it's fine. It's fun, actually. They do really nice, pretty ones. And then there's the kind of woman who has perhaps had a bad comment from her boyfriend who says something about their body, or the woman who's had a baby and she or a woman who's lost weight, put on weight, and her body isn't how it used to be.
Yeah.
So then it's kind of rebuilding that confidence for her and making her realise that who she is right now is absolutely perfect, and kind of all the things that she's been through have just made her the woman that she is today. So, and then there's kind of the older lady. There's just lots of different journeys, and no woman is the same, no body is the same, and that's what makes us all pretty epic.
You're so positive. I love this. It's just so encouraging, isn't
it?
It's
amazing.
Hear.
Yeah.
Is there like a we said moobs, didn't we? Is there a moob whisperer out there?
Do you know, so many guys, it's really funny because I tell them what I do, and actually it breaks my heart because I think guys need someone like me.
Yeah.
Like they need that injection of positivity for their bodies and just in confidence in what they're doing on the daily. And I get guys going, can I come to the bra room? Not for like any weird thing. Like, I just want to talk to you because you're giving me energy right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wish I could have, you know, I don't know, Calvin Klein, if you're listening, I've got a decent underpant whispering.
How nice would that be? Not, again, Gavin, that you have moves, but how nice would it be to have someone like Katie come in, or, you know, you go for, I don't know, a personal shopper, and you've got someone there talking to you about underwear.
Yeah, I know,
and
I know.
It's being, you know.
It's really interesting. There's not really anything like that out there for guys. Yeah. In, you know, I run a podcast and an online men's news channel called Manzilla, and we're all about positivity and bringing, you know, betterment to guys' lives. And I think it's a really, really interesting aspect, that from a clothing perspective, that there's nothing out there really that does big up guys in terms of how they look or how they feel when they wear certain stuff. Nothing, from what I know.
In clothing industry as well, what I know from my guy friends is that there's not that much to buy.
Nah.
Like, that, you know, us ladies are quite happy because we've got loads of shops, but you guys don't have a lot, unless it's super expensive to get something really on trend.
I was just about to say, there is a lot of choice and diversity when you go higher up in the luxury market. There's so much choice for that. But it's, you know, you're talking £500 for a T-shirt or like, you know, over £1,000 for like a coat or like a jumper or something, and it's just a bit unattainable for the majority. Well, highly unattainable for the majority. But in terms of like the general staple of what to wear around, there's probably maybe eight or nine shops that do a pretty similar type of thing, and it's quite. I mean, look at what I'm wearing today: navy blue and navy blue, and then look at my trainers though. Look at my trainers. Look at my trainers. You like my trainers, right?
You love your trainers. Good. They're great.
For anyone that can't see his trainers, which is everybody, they are
slight take on Yeezy. I don't know. Are they?
Yeah, a little bit.
Very comfortable. Yeah, very nice.
And I got them in the sale. So who's winning?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay. Well, Katie, thank you so much. And I'm sorry we have to leave.
Can we do like another time?
Yeah, let's just keep doing it. Just stay with us. Don't go.
Yeah.
So, Katie, where can we find you? What's your socials?
You can find me on We Are Wonderful Fit, which is WEIR Wonderful Fit, and follow at Carvey K as well, because I'm there bra whispering. And if you think, oh my gosh, I don't have time to go to a shop, you can actually go on our website and use the bra whisperer function, and you upload 3 images and I get back to you and tell you your bra size.
Amazing.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Katie. You have been incredible.
Yay.
I'm gonna do it one more time. Okay, our next two guests are here, ready to go. So we, once again, if you want to follow Katie, she is at Curvy Kate, and we will see you in a bit.
Yeah. Radio presents Harriet Rose.
Ironics in the studio.
Yo, what's going on, man?
How are you?
I'm very well, you know.
I found it really poignant when you said about, I think it was about buying a necklace or...
I was spending money, but not like how they spend it now.
Like Gucci.
Yeah, all for the gram.
I'd rather spend it on food.
Yeah, true.
I'm food.
I'm a big foodie.
Yeah. So. Are you a cook? Do you cook?
I'm getting there. I'm learning how to...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm on like my third or fourth meal that I can actually...
Oh, sick.
Yeah, I started off with like a spag bol.
Can I just tell you, if you can smash a fucking spaghetti bol, you can smash life.
Every Thursday from 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Hi guys, we are back. This is Cece Coleman. I am here with you until 6 p.m. I'm doing the Tuesday takeover. I still have Gavin. He still hasn't run away and the door is still locked. I do have two additional guests. We have two incredible comedians. I'm going to let them pronounce their last names because I messed it up earlier. We have Natasha.
Leggero.
Leggero. With a little thingy. No,
it's like, you know, je.
Je.
Yeah.
Leggero.
Leggero. You know, it's supposed to be intimidating.
Okay. It slightly is. And we have her husband, Moshe.
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 So now you fucked up the first name too.
Oh, God.
Would you like me to try?
Go on,
the full name?
Tell us your full name.
It's Moshe Berlusconi. No, it's Kasher. It's Kasher.
Really?
Moshe Kasher. Moshe Kasher. They call me the bra whisperer back in the States.
Oh, it's him. We found him. Gavin,
yeah,
there you go.
Is. I'm the American bra whisperer, which means that I can, by merely fondling a woman's bra, I can tell you within two cup sizes on either size how big they are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I bet you don't even know cup sizes.
I go all the way from, this is either an A, a B, or a C. I can figure it out.
Well,
I'm a double F.
Yeah, that's right.
So.
Natasha's a double Z. Yeah.
They don't go to Z.
No, what happens when they get really big?
Triple F? I don't know. We should ask the bra whisperer.
The bra whisperer. We messed up.
We should have come in earlier.
So, guys, you have a show at the moment that you're doing at the Soho Theatre. Is that right?
Yeah, it's called Confessions of a Bra Whisperer.
is he always like this?
He's just nervous.
Yeah.
I'm
I've never been on FUBAR Radio before, so.
Oh, it's okay. We'll look after you.
We're at the Soho Theatre. Last night was our first show. Very fun.
Yeah, it was quite fun.
And basically, we have a Netflix special where we do a similar situation. It's all new material, mm-hmm. but the format is the same as our Netflix special, which is I do a half hour, Moshe does a half hour, and then we come out together and do about... 30 minutes of live relationship counseling /roasting.
We basically pluck people out of the audience and get to the core, their core issue as lovers.
But last night we had a single person and we kind of tried to help them figure out what's wrong with their life.
Okay, well, I mean, Gavin over here is quite single. Can we talk about him and his life and how we get him a partner?
How to find Gavin love?
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
What's the problem, Gav?
Do
you mind if I call you Gav?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Is
course,
that too
man.
Casual?
No,
for the,
of course,
we just
my
met.
Shit. It's all right, man. It's all good. To be honest, I don't know. I think it's probably me more than anything. It's just I think my standards are just all over the shop. I don't really know what I'm looking for. It's that mess of a situation when you get to a certain point in life where you're like, I want to settle down, but I don't really want to settle down. And now I'm like in this place where I'm sort of trying to have fun still, but then realizing at the end of the day, I probably should be thinking about someone serious. Mm. Oh, I don't know.
Are you internet dating?
I've tried it. It's a world of interesting people.
Because just right off the bat, having just met you, you're very charming.
Oh, thank you.
You're very handsome.
I thought you were going in a different direction.
Well, I'm about to.
Having just met you, I know all the problems.
But also knowing that, are you at work right now? Because you're dressed really casual.
No, I'm not. Exactly. Super casual.
Like, you have on, like, I'd say workout clothes for, like, a Sunday in the yard, maybe cleaning out the garage.
Exactly, Postman outfit. Postman outfit is another one, yeah.
Well, no, but he's so handsome, I would say. I just want to make sure for his dates.
That's about enough. That's about enough calling Gavin handsome.
Meeting at the pub, I just think you should... Girls like it if you, like, step it up a little bit. Do you do that?
Oh, 100%.
Okay,
I up my game.
I just want to point out, Natasha is pan to a London audience. She said garage and she said pub. She doesn't say those words ever. Those aren't words that are
No, I just didn't want to say garage because no one would know what I was talking about.
Well, you said
about.
A yard. The yard is a very Americanism.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what do you call a yard?
We call it like, I guess...
The garden?
Garden.
Oh, that sounds so much nicer.
I don't know.
Drive. Hang on. Who says drive? We say drive or you say drive.
Wait.
Do we say drive?
About what?
We say drive. We say
drive. What is drive?
The yards. On the drive. What would we say? It's on the drive. Oh. The car's on the drive.
We don't say drive.
You don't say drive. So we say drive.
Oh.
Good to know.
Okay.
No, just check it.
Wait, drive means you go to the backyard to pluck your radishes and you're in the drive?
No, like the drive is the bit before the garage.
Okay, so you driveway.
Driveway.
You heard it here first. Boom, bar, driveway.
No, Gavin, you're young. I think it's going to happen. You just have to meet the right girl who shares the same interests as you.
Indeed.
And don't always pick people who are like super young and super hot. Because that's also an issue.
Oh, she might have got you there, Gavin.
Okay, so you do like a
young girl, don't you?
Not too young,
but
yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, Gavin's an unusual type of fella in that he likes a hot young girl.
Yeah, you're really different.
He's one of those outliers. One of those strange fellas.
I can see how you roast your audience now.
God,
I'm literally sweating because I'm like, oh my God.
I'm just teasing you. But I just couldn't see why you couldn't find a nice young chick.
I mean, Gavin's got loads of dating stories, but I'm not going to embarrass him. Gavin quite well, and he's got some seriously good.
Now, what do you got?
Good material. Actually, you could use it in the show.
We'll just say, you know, Gavin from FUBAR Radio. Here was a story that happened.
Tell them about Get Out. It's literally got a title now. This story, Get Out.
Yeah, so I kind of got kidnapped on a date once.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So we met up for drinks. She got there before me. I was on time, but she said I was late. And she'd had like about a bottle and a half of wine already.
She was drunk. She was drunk when you arrived.
Hammered.
My God.
You might say foobar when you arrived.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. But I sort of went with it, and she was handling the drink pretty well. It all kind of went really well from that end. Then we went to a place nearer to where we lived, another bar around there.
Let me just say, I would never go to a second location with someone who showed up to the showed up to the date totally drunk.
Yeah,
agreed.
Well, but it was going okay though. It was going
okay,
all right.
Okay.
I have to add in, she was 6'2", so she's a bit taller than me. Like
a bit taller,
a little bit, tiny bit taller.
Six
than you.
6'2",
but still hot and young, please.
Hot, not necessarily that young.
Was she dribbling a basketball on the way to location too?
Could have been. She was tall, but again, didn't bother me. Looks aren't too much of a thing. But anyhow,
okay. So you get to the second.
Wait, what do you mean looks? That's not looks. That's sight.
Well, appearance then. You know,
you get
what I mean.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Get to the second bar. That goes okay.
Did she pick you up and carry you over the mantle?
Not quite. Could have done though. Quite easily. Could quite easily have done that. Then we ended up just like hanging out back at her new place.
You went to her house.
Yeah, afterwards. Yeah. Oy. Yeah, nothing happened. I spilt red wine on her brand spanking new sofa.
Is already someone who was so mad that you were like 2 minutes late.
And somebody that's so much more physically imposing than you.
Exactly.
She could have beat your ass, Gavin.
Exactly.
Is that my red wine? Not on my room. Come here, Gavin.
Oh my
God. She's on the other side of the living room. She just grabs Gavin and pulls him across.
Most of you don't understand how realistic that actually was.
Oh my God, she got physical?
No.
Oh, wait,
not
I want to know what she said. So, you're such a sweet guy. You must have felt awful that
I felt terrible.
It.
I felt I was ringing around cleaners, 24 hour cleaners and stuff. Like, I was trying to do everything I could to make this situation better. And then at that point, I realized just before the wine incident happened, I was going to make my excuses to go. And I thought, I can't really go just now. So I stayed around a bit longer, and I actually did stay the night and just made sure everything was okay the next day and called cleaners and stuff.
How big of a drop did you spill? Like, was it
was quite. It was half a glass.
Okay. Ooh,
and it was on a brand spanking new light grey sofa.
But you didn't smash.
The glass?
No.
Lady.
No.
What he means.
No. Sorry.
That's American.
What does that mean?
That's
an
American.
What does it mean?
That's an Americanism. I love it. I lived in America briefly.
Honestly, no one in America says that except
Arkansas. You lived in Arkansas?
I lived in Arkansas, yeah, in Texas.
Yay.
Yeah,
that is America. That's the real stuff.
Don't change the subject, Gavin. We're still talking about smashing.
That is a good point. I was like, did you smash? Like, no, I lived in Arkansas.
Oh,
yeah. You know,
yeah.
I lived in Arkansas.
I'm kind of trying to get this away. But anyhow, throughout the night.
Still pushing on.
I kept hearing her getting up to lock the doors and lock windows. And I just thought, what is going on here? This is really strange. And the next day, I was just like, oh my God, right, so everything's all right. And She'd calmed down by then.
Sure.
And so I just
wasn't pounding her fist into her hand, taking her lunch money.
Not quite. But yeah, I had this like, this really horrible feeling. I thought that I was locked in.
Oh, that is something.
We were locked in.
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you, that is something I do not, because Natasha and I are married. I don't know if we mentioned that we're a married couple and we have a kid and the whole lot. I just don't. That is something.
The kid opens for us. She does 3 minutes up at the top.
No, she's not here. No, it's a lie. It sounds realistic.
That would be brilliant, though, wouldn't it?
How old is it?
She's only a year and a half, but okay. Once she can speak better.
Yeah. She'll maybe tell that Gavin story or something.
One of several.
I do not miss that feeling of being in bed with someone and just thinking, how do I get out of here? How do I
escape?
Well,
Moshe used to tell me he had this trick where as soon as they were done having sex, he would be like, do you know what time it is?
And he's like,
oh, I have to work in the morning. And you kind of wait for the girl. You look kind of aghast by this.
I mean,
it's not a trick. Listen, I'm a married man now.
But
things
you're not saying you got to leave. You're like, oh, do you know what time it is? You're kind of playing innocent.
No, what I would
and
do,
she's like, 9 p.m. Why? Oh, I don't know. I have to work tomorrow.
I would generally ask them. I'd be like, what do you got anything tomorrow? Or do you work on at all? And then they'd be like, no. I'd be like, oh, yeah. Well, I do work. Yeah, I do. Ay, schedules and all that, you know. And then I just jump out of the window.
That is rough. That's why if I were a guy, I would try to not host.
Oh, never host.
I would try to, like, go to there. I mean, if I was just trying to, like, get pussy or something, I would, which obviously, if I was a man, that's what I would want. As a woman, I just want to fall in love and get married, but, you know. Yeah, I wouldn't want to. Even now, like, there's people in my life who, like, are lingerers. You know, like, they'll never leave.
Worst. Yeah. Really?
So, like, I always try to schedule things, like, in a, like, not my house. Like, in another location, their house, that kind of thing. Some people just don't want to say goodbye.
What is that?
I think they have a lot of free time.
Right.
Lonely, maybe. Lonely, yeah. Just...
Kind of a Gavin-esque figure.
Yeah, a bit of a Gav.
A bit of a Gav.
Are you a clinger, Gavin?
I am not a clinger.
She really locked you in, or did you
clinger.
Lock yourself in?
Gavin's rechecking the locks.
You locked yourself in.
Oh, I couldn't get enough of it, yeah.
Gavin's like, I've got nothing to do.
No, I wasn't going anywhere, because I wanted to make sure I did the right thing about sorting that sofa out. I felt so
bad.
So
what happened? Did you end up having to pay for a cleaner?
Well, I offered to buy a new panel for the sofa, the whole half the thing. But no, she just sort of took it on the chin and just thought to, and then
couldn't
sort of let me go.
Couldn't she have flipped
really.
It over? She let you go.
Let me go, yeah. I escaped.
She took it on the chin, and by the way, that chin was way, way, way up there. It was difficult for her to get it up there.
No, I think it was all fine. It was all fine at the end of it. But I just felt so bad. I just felt so bad.
I mean, honestly, that's not very gracious of her. I think if you're hosting and someone does spill anything on anything, you should always say no problem. I'll take care of it. Honestly, that's the only answer.
She had a meltdown. Didn't she? I don't think she was capable of doing
No. It was an emotional part of the evening, let's say that.
Oh, man.
Hugging and tears.
Really?
And stroking
she cried?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
She cried because of her couch?
I think there was more to it.
Sorry,
than that.
I'm really
I love my couch so much. This only I eat this. This is a snack for me.
Stop making fun of her, Moshe, just because she's tall.
She's not here.
That's true.
Tall people don't have feelings. Everybody knows that. Is that not a thing here?
I have no idea. Tall people don't have feelings.
You never heard that.
I'll ask a tall person, yeah.
Don't. Okay. No, because they're weird about it.
So, guys, Taz, how do you two keep it together? You're married. How long have you been married? How do you get this? How do you keep it working when you're working?
Well, we are lucky in that we don't get on each other's nerves. I think that's a big part of our relationship.
And back to Gavin, when you're looking for a mate, I think that is one of the most important things is, like, someone who doesn't annoy you. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you know, you've got to be able to spend a lot of time with someone. And, you know, you have friends who are like that. And then you have friends who are like, I can see them once every 2 weeks, mm-hmm. you know. I think it's that's like to me the most important thing in a mate.
Yeah, but in a mate.
No, in a couple.
In a mate, an actual mate, one who is mating.
Right.
Not a mate, because we're not really mates.
Mating is shagging.
Yeah.
Just so everyone knows. Okay. Good.
But I think also it helps that Natasha and I both do the same thing. You know, so we both met each other through stand up and just being in the community, and then we started dating. It was very easy to because the life of a stand up dating a stand up I think is probably one of the worst things you can do. Because they go on the road.
They go on the road, and then when they're on the road, every cocktail waitress and audience member offers to fuck them. Well, and so sure. then...
Amazing. Good. Gavin, take
Gavin,
a comedy.
Maybe you should start start. Yeah,
stand it. Just be funny.
Could do that. Yeah.
But and then you go on the road. Your partner goes on the road, and then they come back, and then they go like gig in town. They go, oh yeah, mm-hmm. well this I'm doing for free. I'm gonna abandon the family for free during the week so that I can work on the stuff for me to abandon the family for money later. So Tasha and I started touring together and doing
much
like this.
Better.
And it was it just like took away the biggest nightmare of stand up, which is being on the road and being lonely.
But I do think that some men love it. Like sometimes I'll look at friends I know, males in their 40s and 50s, and you know, it doesn't even matter their age, but all of a sudden you look at their tour schedule and they're gone like every single night, and I'm like, oh, their wife must have just had a baby. Yeah. Because they're like, peace! And they just get out of town, and then the wife is there Skyping and dealing with everything. I mean, it happens a lot, Moshe.
Yeah, so, no, it's true. So
it doesn't happen with women. I mean, now women are starting to have babies who are comedians. I have a lot of friends who are female comedians having children, but, you know, I'd say before, like, 5 years ago, I didn't know anyone except I had heard that I knew Joan Rivers had a baby, but most of the women didn't. Bonnie McFarlane had a baby. That's
yeah,
the only one.
Yeah, I mean, I always say, like, I've never met a male comedian who hasn't slept with a fan, and I've never met a female comedian who has. So that's the, there's the disparity between the genders right there. Like 100% of male comedians have fucked a fan, and 100% of female comedians are like, absolutely not.
Well, the difference is we have standards.
Yeah, yeah, that is the difference.
That's it. That's the missing link. Standards.
So then we figured out, we started doing this tour in the States. We went on this endless this honeymoon tour together where we were like, we had heard about this couple in Newport, Rhode Island that had gone.
Well, I did a show called Another Period. Moshe was actually one of the writers and producers. And it takes place in Newport during the Gilded Age, sort of like Downton Abbey, but in America. And it was on Comedy Central. And it was kind of like if the Kardashians were at Downton. And so we're trying really hard to get famous, but it's like 1902. Anyway, we went to Newport, Rhode Island to do research. And we heard about this couple who were so rich. They went on this, left for their honeymoon. And they came back 10 years later with four children.
Yeah, with kids.
Wow.
And so that's been our dream, not to have the four children, but to like just go on a 10-year honeymoon.
So essentially Amazing. We started touring and we did this. We started and we created this act where Tosh would do her stand-up, I would do mine. And then we would do this sort of live relationship counseling.
But we're actually really good at the counseling. We also have a podcast.
Sure.
I was about to ask you about that. Yeah, the Endless Honeymoon podcast. Yeah,
we've been giving great advice on that, Moshe. Almost everyone we talk to is like, wow, thank you so much. I'm very impressed with
No, we have been doing well on the podcast. I just don't want to oversell how much advice we can do in the live show.
Right, because
we're mostly just... Making fun of people. But it's a lot of fun. It's definitely a lot. But on the podcast, we do have an opportunity to
That's because
get more
we
real.
Don't see them, and so we can't just roast them.
Right, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. We're a little more, you know, helpful.
And roasting of each other, because I saw you did an interview with somebody who asked what's off limits. And from what I understand, there's not much that's off limits.
No. Well, that's one of the reasons why I married Moshe, because he was like, when we first started dating, I was like, oh, can I mention this on stage? Because I had boyfriends before who were comedians who were like, don't talk about that, don't talk about that. And Moshe just, he's very confident, and he just said, oh, you never ask me that. Just always say whatever you want.
Yeah, incredible. So she's got a lovely bit about my mother is deaf. And
this
Natasha,
is the bit I was referring to, but I didn't really want to say it.
Natasha has this great bit about her accent. And, well, it's just a lovely little bit. It's a lovely, I definitely appreciate it.
I wouldn't exactly call it an accent.
My mom, by the way, doesn't mind it either because she's never heard it.
Okay. Yeah.
So she's fine with it.
No, but your mom is so laid back. She would just be like, what a lovely show where you talk about me.
She truly wouldn't care. The truth is there are no limits you can't have limits on stage, especially if you're performing together, because you know, half the show is about us roasting each other, just like you said. No, there's no limits. There's a couple pretty gnarly moments in the show where we're making fun of each other.
So you never have, like, say you've like had a bit of a bicker before you go and you're like, oh come on, we need to get in the zone, you get on stage, and then it's that chance to kind of like, that thing that wound me up, I might be able to mention it now.
Well, I actually did that on the podcast. I like, because, like, Moshe, I kind of took advantage of him saying that we could talk about anything. So we were on the podcast, and I was thinking about this issue we have, which is that he stares at his phone too much. And so I just sort of, like...
It's kind of a unique issue. It's probably an American thing.
No.
I imagine it's just an
American
thing.
Here.
Yeah, they don't have that.
Well,
I
talked to a therapist about it because I'm trying to not be nagging. But, you know, in my opinion, it was really, like... I just felt like the phone culture in the home needed to change slightly. I felt like phone was number one, and then me, and then the child... And so,
no, that's not true, honey, at all. It's not. It's phone, career, then you, then the child. Yeah.
Well,
what are you, crazy?
I was really scared to bring this up with him because I'm sure other people out there can relate. When you bring this up with a partner, the first thing they usually say is, well, you're on your phone too.
Yeah.
You're on your phone. What about you? Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, I'm not on as much as you, but anyway, I am.
No, but it's true.
I know.
I'm with you.
What do you mean you're with her?
I'm with her.
But do you not look at your phone?
No. Well, no. Same thing. We have this thing, no phones in the bedroom, because otherwise,
that's a good rule.
After 11 p.m., no phones.
We need to start having more rules. I think that no phones at the table while anyone's eating would be like really beneficial.
Oh, yeah, that'd definitely be lovely.
You know, like not just when you go out to eat, but like when we're eating, like why be one hand on your spoon, one hand scrolling.
Yeah.
And then I go get my phone because I don't want to eat in silence like some depressed widower.
Oh, so you're a widower
or
now?
Or whatever.
You become not
that's
only
what it feels like. You feel dead to me.
But you're a male. But
you're dead. You're staring off into dead space.
I believe it's widow. Widow.
Sorry. Yeah. I haven't thought about it, but you know.
Well, you're a woman, so you don't need to think much about it. It's
wait,
right there.
If it's a man, it's a widower?
That's right.
Oh, sorry, a widow.
We're
a
here
widow,
in the birthplace right. of English. Wait, no.
All right, do you agree right now at this
why
interview?
Why are you doing this?
No
this
phones
really
at the table. Do you agree?
Who are come you? On. Why are you involved come in that relationship? Okay, sit I out. Agree. For Fubar, for Gab. Everything's changing. No, I think that phones are one of these things, though. You know how everybody thinks that they're a better than average driver? Have you ever heard that? Like,
yeah,
every
I
driver
do.
Thinks
I,
they're
I,
better than average.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Every phone person thinks they're better, they're less addicted to the phone than other people think they are. So when you confront someone, you say, oh, you're bad at the phone. And they go, you are too, because everybody is.
And it's getting worse. That's why I think right now is a great time to start imposing some limits. Like, we have something, I converted to Judaism to be with Moshe. And there's Shabbat. I don't know if you guys know about the Jewish culture, but I use it as a technology Shabbat. So Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, no phone or computer. And I really enjoy that.
Oh, so you do that? You actually?
I do it. Amazing. He doesn't.
Okay.
Well, because I actually grew up.
Even though he's the Jew.
Yeah, I grew up in the religion, so I have the trauma from the religion.
Oh,
I'm not like, oh,
it.
I'm embracing this beautiful little tradition. I'm just like, I want her to have it. But yeah, you're
who
right.
Who doesn't want a respite? Is that the right word?
Yeah.
From the phone for 24 hours, Friday sundown, Saturday sundown. Everyone
but
I tell is so jealous
I'll
of
tell
me.
You what to not take a respite from, seeing us at the Soho Theater.
Oh, no. Look at him. He's doing the show for us. Right. Right. Come on, plug it. Come on.
It's 9:45 every night, including Friday and Saturday night. We had started yesterday, and we're going every night, 9:45.
And it's such an hour-long show.
It's just an hour show. It's
we're
bing,
saying
bang,
hi to people after the show.
It's really
oh,
fun.
Oh, good. I
yeah,
like that.
And it's a very intimate space, and there's a whole set behind us, because I guess there's a play in the slot before us. So there's this elaborate set with all of the gay icons. There's a picture of Cher and a picture of Barbara Streisand and a picture. So
and Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds.
Well, I didn't even know it was a gay icon.
But it's every night, 9:45. It's an hour show. It's so much fun, and we'd love to see everybody.
Okay, good. And guys, where can we find you on socials?
Oh, at Moshe Kasher, MosheKasher.
And Natasha Leggero on Instagram and Twitter. And also check out our podcast, The Endless Honeymoon Podcast, now on iTunes
and Spotify and everywhere else. And yeah, come
or call our podcast and we can talk to you.
That's true.
Okay.
You can be on we do live relationship counseling on the
what you do, we've had people from England. You just leave a message and then we'll call you back when we're recording. Well, our producers will arrange it.
Oh, I wanted to give the number, but you just Google it. Endless Honeymoon Podcast, and you can call us and leave a deep, dark secret or get some live relationship counseling.
Thank you very much, guys. You have been amazing. Thank you so much. Gavin and I are still here. We are here till 6 p.m. on FUBAR. We will see you in a bit.
Thank you.
Got you everywhere, slay. That's the way. me.
Fubar Radio.
We're back with a bang. I love that song.
I love that song. It makes
Big
me happy.
Tune. Yeah.
It takes me back, like old school, like when I thought I was too cool for school.
Yeah. No, I love it. I absolutely love it. It's just like it just reminds me of good vibes, you know?
Yeah, good vibes, summer, bit of rosé. Yeah. Lovely. So what do you think of our last guests? Weren't they amazing?
Oh, hilarious.
Natasha and Moshe. Yeah. I hope I've got it right this time because I've messed his name up. This will
I
be
think
the
it's
third.
Moshe.
Moshe. I've probably done it again. It's probably getting really
funny.
Wound up. They were great.
They were funny.
I'd like to go and see their show.
Yeah. Oh, it would be. You could tell they've just got their patter on point, haven't they?
Yeah. And do you know what? I'd quite like to get... Because I know they say they offer relationship advice, and it's obviously in a jokey format. But if they have got a lasting relationship, they're working together, they're living together, they have a child, they're doing something right.
And they're comedians as well doing it. And it's just, you know, that's a tough industry to be in because you are
Isn't it?
I know a few comedians as well, and they are on the go all the time. They're hustling all the time. They're you know, committing material all the time. It's sapping.
Yeah.
How do they do it? I don't know.
Being off, you know, on the road and whatnot. I know they do some shows together, but that must be quite a strain on a relationship. So
massive strain.
I think they would be the perfect people to give relationship advice.
Yeah, definitely. And also, you know, they seem to be good with reading people too.
Yeah, well, they read you very well, didn't they?
Well,
got you
so.
Down to a T.
I don't know about that. I don't know. I mean, I quite like Natasha's feedback though, the old handsomeness.
Yeah, see, take it. And as she said about your clothes, you know, it was said in a really constructive way.
Yeah,
not that
true.
You're, you know, dressed for a date today, but I'm sure you do dress up and you've
good.
Put a little suit jacket on and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm good with the old dress sense. I love that.
I'll
up in my game gradually. But yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
So if you could, I've got a question for you. If you could, be with one person for the rest of your life, and you had a choice of your parents picking that person,
oh my god,
or your friends, who would you pick?
Oh, you mean as in to choose the person I'd be with for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
Oh my word! Probably friends.
Why?
Probably friends. My parents.
This is for
boring.
The rest of your life. Remember, so your friends know you from uni. They know you on the night out. Yeah, they know you're cool, true. Gavin.
I think I think my friends have got my back. I really do. I think my friends would pick someone who's fun, cool, gets me, etc. But the parents would pick someone wrong. I know they would. But it'd be someone too boring.
Too boring. So like the safe.
They're like the safe. They're very safe and sort of like staid people. They know what they want. Yeah. They know what they expect. They're very very strict.
Do you think most parents would be like that?
I think they probably would be. They are on the side of that because they don't want to see you get hurt either, do they?
Exactly.
They don't want to see you get hurt. They don't want to see you in a bad way. And it's like they will pick someone who's not going to do that to you.
But then aren't you going to be hurt because you're with someone who's boring? Is that not how it works?
From their point of view, I would completely. But I don't they really think about that. I think they just think about what's best for you long term. They probably do know what's best for you, like, you know, deep down. But the reality is, you're not going to go with it, are you?
I'd like to think so. My dad, I'd call him a bit of a young dad. He's quite
he seems cool. Your dad, I've not met him, but you describe him and he sounds really cool.
He is. He's cool. He's like, he just kind of gets life and gets it. And I think with age, our relationship has got so much better because we've accepted each other.
Yeah.
I'm now an adult and he has to just deal with it. I have to deal with the fact that he's my dad.
Yeah.
And I think he would be a great pick of character because he's very intuitive. So I think he would get it right. He'd be like, do you know what? Someone that's not going to hurt her, tick. But also he knows that I need a little bit of like thrill or a little bit of excitement.
Yeah.
So I think he would probably get it right. And like,
do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe they would come up with a worldie. Who knows? But
Who knows? Okay, so anyway, I'm going to get our next guest on. We have an incredibly stunning influencer, model, blogger. Her name is Rafika Love, and she is going to be talking to us also about confidence and many more, much more things. She's on in a bit.
Yeah, this one right here goes out to all the babies, mamas. Mamas. Baby mamas. Yeah, go like this. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. My baby is drama, mama, don't like me. She be doing things like having the boys come from her neighborhood to the studio trying to fight me. She need to get a piece of American pie and take her bite out. That's my house. I disconnect the cable and turn the lights out. And let her know her grandchild is a baby and not a paycheck. Private school, daycare, shit, medical bills, I pay that. I love your mom and everything. See, I ain't the only one who lay down. She wanna rip you up and start a custody war. My lawyer, stay down. She never got a chance to hear my side of the story. We was divided. She had fish fries and cookouts for my child's birthday. I ain't invited, despite it. I show her the utmost respect when I fall through. All you do is defend that lady when I call you. Yeah. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. Me and your daughter got a special thing going on. You say it's puppy love. If I'm lying, fine. The quickest muzzle, throw it on my mouth and I'll decline. King meets queen, then the puppy love thing. Together dream about that crib with the Goodyear swing. On the oak tree, I hope we feel like this forever. Forever, forever, ever, forever, ever. Forever never seems that long until you're grown. And notice that the day-by-day ruler can't lead you wrong. Miss Jackson, my intentions were good. I wish I could become a magician to abracadabra all the sadder. Thoughts of me, thoughts of she, thoughts of he. Asking what happened to the feeling that her and me had. I pray so much about it, need some knee pads. It happened for a reason, one can't be mad. So know this, know that everything's cool. And yes, I will be present on the first day of school and graduation. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant
should look at the way you treat me. You see your little nose ass homegirls and got your ass in up the creek, G. Without a pad on, you left to straddle and ride this thing on out. And the union girl ain't speaking no more cause my dick all in, I'm out. I'm talking about jealousy, infidelity can be cheating, beating. And the N to the G, they be the same thing. But who you placing the blame on? You keep on singing that same song. Let bygones be bygones, you can go and get the hell on you and your mom.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Takeover with CeCe Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, guys. We are back. Gavin and I are here till 6 o'clock. We are talking every subject under the sun, it seems. And we're going to continue on that vibe with our next guest, who is the absolutely stunning Rafika Love. Rafika, welcome to the studio. Hello.
Thank you, CeCe. Thank you guys for having me.
How are you feeling?
I'm a little bit anxious, I'm not going to lie. It's are my you? First time on radio.
Oh, wow. Is it? No way.
Yeah. Congratulations. Oh. I think that deserves a...
Love
it's
it.
So cute, just like you. Oh, I didn't do it anymore. No, no, yeah, there we go. There it is. So, Rafika, what do you prefer to be known as? Is it model, influencer, blogger? What do you prefer?
Oh, there isn't like really an umbrella term for all of it. I think at the moment I'm transitioning from the modeling industry to being a full-time influencer. Eventually, become a business owner. So for now, let's just
wow. Okay.
Oh, amazing.
Yes, yeah.
Business owner of what?
Skincare, honey. Skincare.
Lovely. Okay, so you want to create your own brand, your own products, put your research into what works.
Everything.
Wow.
Yeah, so
okay.
I've been doing all the research on that for about 2 years now.
Uh-huh.
And it's coming to a point now where I just need to put it out there.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So. Exactly, put it out there. We had the lovely Kate, I don't know if you know her, Curvy Kate, earlier, and she was talking about that mood boards, wasn't she?
Saying really fascinating.
If you want something, you put it out there, yep. And then the universe allows it. I mean, in a certain way. Maybe some mood boards. Maybe that's what you need to do next. Get
mood
on the old
boards,
mood boards.
Business plans. I've written 4 business plans on the same thing.
Have
wow.
you?
Wow.
Oh, wow, amazing.
So you're really going for it. This is all set in motion.
Well, I've got a really good team behind me. You know Yolanda.
Yes.
She's there. She's
go speak and do.
Yeah.
Woo woo.
No, they're really good. So.
Okay. And where did this all start then? So when did you decide that this was something that you wanted to do? The influencing, modeling, I'm aware you started quite young. Is that right?
I wouldn't say young. I was 17 when I decided it's something that I wanted to pursue.
Okay.
Properly. I say properly. And it didn't take off up until I was 18, 19.
Yeah.
And then again, it was a slow climb. And around 2021, everything just started snowballing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the same time I got in contact with Speak and Do and signed as an influencer.
Right.
And that just opened a whole different world.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so influencing to you, because some people, I still don't really get it, to be fair. What is an influencer and what would you say what do you do when you influence?
Oh.
Is it, so I mean, my understanding is you take pictures with products and you get creative with them,
yeah.
You post them onto your page, and from that it creates a buzz and then people come to you and brands want to work with you. Is that kind of...
I feel like that's the second phase. The first phase of being an influencer is to create an identity for yourself within, I'm going to say, the industry.
Okay.
Have an audience that like you for you and be true to who you are. There's no point in promoting products that you don't believe in.
Yeah. Agreed.
And nobody really wants like one of those fake influencers that like, yeah, buy everything because I get 30% off.
Exactly, yeah. So that kind of switches people off, I would say.
Yeah.
Gap, go on, sorry.
No, I was going to say, like, your passion then within that influencing sphere, did that come from you seeing what worked well on social media, or is it just stuff that you like? Like, how did you decide what to start posting, really?
It took a while. Again, like I was saying, finding my niche within the industry, I saw everybody doing what they were doing and I thought, oh, that's what an influencer is.
Yeah.
You've got to post with the product right up against your face and, you know, it's all beauty, it's all glamorous. That's not what it is. People don't come to your profile to see that. People come to see you.
Yes.
Whether it's the real quirky side of you or the silly side of you, people mm-hmm. want to see you organically.
Yeah.
So it took a while to let the guard down and realize Instagram might be a highlight reel, but people want to see the things behind the scenes.
Yeah, I agree.
That's true.
Because I think you've got a very mature approach to
Thank you. It's
lovely because, you know, you're so stunning, you're so beautiful, and I think it would be very easy just to pigeonhole you into, she's a model and that's it. But there's so much more going on. You know, like you said, you have a business plan, you're trying to set that in motion, and you understand that world. You understand what it needs. And that's obviously why you're successful and people want to work with you, because you're nice, you get it, you're educated, you see what I'm saying? It's quite easy for people to fall into that that world of influencing, because we think, oh, it makes us money. I'll take some pictures, I'll put them on Instagram, and then I'll get paid. But there's so much more to it, you know, using the mind and whatnot.
It's not easy. I think a lot of us do go into it because we think, one, it is a lucrative industry to be part of.
Yeah.
It's not easy, though.
Yeah.
Because if you're not going to put the work in, you're not going to get any of the outcome that you see or that you want.
Yeah
So that's the downside of it, really.
This is
hard work.
I think that's the one thing that people don't necessarily realize is, you know, the kind of way that it kind of all works, really, because you have to put in effort in order to get the rewards. You know, the number one sort of career now, you go to a lot of colleges and schools and they will say they want to be YouTubers or social media influencers, Instagram models, whatever it is. They just want to make money in the quickest and easiest way.
Yeah.
What it seems like is the quickest and easiest way. But the reality is it isn't, because, you know, there's only a few really in the hundreds of thousands that are on actively trying to do influencing work that do really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for everyone. Everyone can't become like a, you know, the next whoever, I'm going to say Molly May from Love Island or whatever, you know. Not everyone can do that. It's only a handful of people that get to that level, and it's the ones who are prepared to put in the effort and realise their niche are the ones that do well, from what I can understand.
That's true.
It's having that sort of that, you know, that communication, that education level to mm-hmm. be able to say, I'm going to use this and make something of it and do whatever it takes to make that happen, and having like a, you know, almost like a proper niche like you're doing, Rafika, and it just makes it all stand out, you know. I think it's more that a lot of people can get wrapped up in it as well. They get really into the whole social media mindset of having to have the most amount of likes or having to have the most amount of mm-hmm. you know, engagement, and it can lead to people becoming burnt out, I think.
Yeah,
but definitely, especially now that Instagram has decided, sorry, I just slammed my hand.
Jeez, getting angry.
They've changed their algorithm. I'm so sick of them changing the algorithm.
Yeah.
And that's made it hard across the board for everybody.
So if you can just explain that, because some people won't actually understand what that entirely means. What does that mean?
So Instagram have
an algorithm.
So they filter through what they want you to see, which means that your posts, if they don't get a certain amount of attention in, mm-hmm. I don't know, let's say 5 minutes or an hour,
mm-hmm.
then it's not seen on everybody's page.
Yeah.
So your traffic that initially was there isn't there, or your audience that was there isn't seeing your work.
Yeah. No, I completely. That makes sense to me.
I know. It's like it's got to get at the right time, haven't you? And I guess when is the right time?
Yeah.
No, even with that, they've like changed everything.
Yeah.
And then there's hashtags. It's a lot of work that you've got to put into it. It doesn't just happen like that. Oh, I've taken a fire picture, let me post it.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
No.
So what would you say are the main pros from being an influencer, or say having a social presence, and what are the cons for having that?
I'll start with the positives.
Okay.
Definitely meeting like-minded people, because mm-hmm. we get invited to so many events. It's nice to be in a room with similar-minded creatives.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, and you're this person trying to go into that industry, it can feel like it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't see there's no instant gratification, by the way. So if you don't get that, it can be disheartening. Mm-hmm. So when you're around people who are going through similar things, who are trying their hand at similar things, it makes you feel all right.
Yeah. Get that.
The other positive about it, obviously, the staff.
Yes.
Let's be honest. Yeah. It is nice to get a lot of attention from a lot of brands. It's nice to be recognized for your work and to be, I don't know, just to be appreciated.
I think that's exactly it, isn't it? Recognized for your work, for the time and effort that you've put in to create content.
Yeah.
Because that is the job. And cons, what would you say? If you could just pick one, what would it be?
Trolls.
Yeah. Really? Do you get trolls?
Yeah.
Really?
What do they say?
All sorts of things.
Like what? Really? Go on, give us one that you don't, it's not going to make you feel uncomfortable.
No, they're it's a bit of a random one, but someone told me that they wished I was dead.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Whoa. No, you kind of have to laugh at it. You can't take it too seriously because it's like someone that you don't know, or people have been like, you're an ugly bitch. Like, you're entitled to your opinion.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how do you manage that? How do you mentally, like, get yourself in a place? Say you're having a down day. You know, you wake up on a Monday morning, you just feel like shit. You've had a bad weekend. You've had an argument with a partner. You're just feeling that way. And then you read a troll that says something like that. How do you pick yourself up?
I don't let it get to me. Of course, I will go to my mum. My mum is like my go-to comforter in anything. So I'll go to my mum and I'll be like, oh, this person said this, this and this. But I always reply. Sometimes if it's really harsh, if someone's like, oh, die, I'm not going to reply. But if they're like, oh, you're an ugly bitch, I'm like, oh, well, you're entitled to your opinion. I hope you have a blessed day.
Good for you.
Just leave it at that.
So kill them with kindness.
Yeah. It took a while, though.
Yeah, I was going to say that I would be like, I'd have things like a list of things I wanted to say back. Oh, do you get trolled, Gavin? Do you ever get people saying they wish you were dead?
No one. Not yet. No. I think the sort of stuff I get is not really. I get every now and again when, you know, on doing through TV work and what have you, you get people that have an opinion on what you're saying or what you're doing or what you're wearing. It's not necessarily the most. I'm kind of used to it in a way.
Basically, you don't get trolled.
No, what you're trying to say.
He's fine.
And I'll be honest, right? It's nothing like, you know, that's serious. It's just like, you know, putting on a bit of weight there, mate, or whatever.
If someone said that to me, I would be quite upset.
The worst one I had, it wasn't really a troll. It was actually like it was racist, and I had a bit of racist stuff before. It's not often, I have to say, it's not often. But the worst one I had was like, you know, you're taking an English person's job. Get off the TV.
Wow. Okay, I didn't get it from that side.
That made me angry.
Wow.
And I actually hammered the hell out of that person.
Yeah.
And I got loads, and other people jumped in on it, and I was just like, you cannot be saying that sort of stuff. Reported it to Twitter.
Good.
It's always on Twitter. It's not on Instagram or Facebook or anything.
Lucky.
Okay.
Yeah. For me, it is anyway, because that's where I guess a lot of the sort of people that would be doing that from my end, my audience, would live. The Instagram stuff for me is quite positive, I think.
I think Instagram, I mean, for me personally, I don't really read Twitter at all. I just sort of post from, what do? I post from Instagram, which then goes onto my Twitter. So I don't know really what people are saying. Mm-hmm. But Instagram has been quite kind to me. Do you ever get like trolled in the streets? Do people recognise you?
People do recognise me. They tend to recognise myself and Nathan a lot.
Nathan's your
part. I'm going to say partner with inverted commas there.
That's her partner in inverted commas.
Yeah, it's complicated right now.
It's complicated. Okay, cool.
People usually recognise us together because we've got a YouTube channel.
Right, I've seen this, yeah.
The racial comments that I've received was because I've been in a relationship with a black man.
Wow.
And, yeah, so...
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So people, that's all online, they're doing this. Do people say things in the street to you?
No.
Okay.
I don't think anyone has balls that big.
Wow, I mean, who knows, right? I haven't had that personally, but people are mean.
That is true. Yeah. I feel like it's easier to do it behind a screen than it is in front of the person's face.
The keyboard warriors, that's what they're called, aren't they? Yeah.
People feel more empowered to be able to do it behind the screen now. It's just not on. But I've seen it a little bit with, you know, verbal racial confrontation before. I have seen it, yeah. I've not had it here. But I've seen it. I've seen it, like, especially with people who are in Islamic dress.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen people go up to people in that in that, you know, in that, in that sort of outfit and scream in their face and say stuff that I wouldn't want to repeat now. So
what is your background, Rafika? Where are you from?
South Africa, but
that's the accent. That's
I can
it.
Actually do it, and I think I do it really well.
Give us some. Give us an accent.
Well, now I'm on the spot. All right, so I'm from South Africa, and my name is Rafika, and I'm here with everybody at FUBA Radio. I know. And my family back home are listening, by the way.
Oh, great.
Very nice. Can you do any other accents? I've heard you're quite good.
That's a lie.
Oh, no, I've heard you're really, really good.
Everything turns Indian.
Okay,
yeah,
give us some.
So, no.
Try and do an Irish accent.
Oh, God, it's going to go Indian.
Come on, give it your best shot. I can't even think how Irish.
Oh,
Irish.
No, wait, how does Laura say? Fenny Flores.
Who's? Oh, that's Love Island, isn't it? That's it. So, go on, say it again. So
thirsty.
Go on to
she's
again.
Thirsty.
She's thirsty. She's quite easy to copy, I would say.
Maura is, yeah. She's got a really strong accent, hasn't she? Oh. I like it though.
The same.
So yeah, I asked really Gavin like before you came in about if he was to be with somebody for the rest of his life, would he prefer his parents to pick that person or his friends?
Ooh.
So I know you're in a complicated relationship, but put that to one side for a second. If you had to be with someone for the rest, so every single day, for the rest of your life, would you prefer your parents to pick them or would you prefer your friends?
Oh, God. Can I explain why?
Go on.
Okay, so if my mum picked my partner,
yeah,
my mum would pick a partner that liked her or favoured her over me. So it always took her part. It's not a bad thing.
Okay, good. Okay.
I don't think my dad would even want to pick a partner. My dad just, you know, I buy cats. Have cats. Okay. You'll always be my little girl. Just buy cats.
Okay, have cats. Good. Okay.
If my friends picked my partner, oh, they're so different. All of my friends are so different. So I know, like,
if they were like a collective, or you got all your friends together as a collective, do you think they would like nail it and just get you the perfect guy?
No,
really? Why?
I'd have like this. He'd either look really geeky and have have the personality of a cardboard box, or he'd look really geeky and then be a complete and utter idiot.
Oh, man.
Or he'd look like handsome, really, really. We're talking supermodel handsome here. And just not like me.
Oh, I mean, I would be all right with really handsome. I think that's great.
And you are? I'm the girl you're meeting. Oh, yeah, my wife, how are you? Great, darling, great.
Okay, is there anything that we don't know about you that you'd either like us to know or not like us to know that we want to know anyway?
I think you already know this. I'm pretty weird. Everybody's like, oh, she looks so prim and pretty. No.
Explain weird. What does weird mean? I'm weird, so I know exactly what I'm weird in. How are you weird, Rafika?
Do you know when you make funny noises just because you can?
On your own?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or have conversations with yourself that don't necessarily make sense.
Okay.
Or talk in an accent to yourself and have a serious conversation in an accent. Or argue with yourself, because those are the best arguments.
Okay, so let's just picture this. You're pottering around your room. Mm-hmm. You're just making the bed in the morning, and then you're having a conversation or an argument with yourself.
With myself.
In an accent.
Yes.
With an accent. Good. Good. This is good stuff. Gavin, do you ever potter and argue with yourself?
Internally, I have that dialogue. Yeah, I have some weird internal dialogues going on, but it's all part of the process, I like to think.
I like that yours is internal.
It's internal. I can't... Crikey, I don't know. Maybe every now and again it comes out, but I don't know. I do talk to myself, though. I do talk to myself. Mm. I actually think most people would secretly admit that they talk to themselves.
Yeah.
In motivational ways.
Yeah.
In little ways to, like, pep yourself up, you know? I'm not a fan of talking about myself in the third person at all, but if I'm talking to myself, then I talk about myself in the third person.
I feel you.
Which is strange. I would never, if anyone ever heard that, they'd be like, who is this idiot? But I think it's
important to talk to yourself.
Yeah.
Give yourself a little pep talk.
Totally.
Or whatever it is.
Totally.
Anyway, Rafika, I'm so sorry, but we have run out of time.
Sorry.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Our absolute pleasure. Where can we find you on your socials?
At Rafika Love on Instagram and Twitter.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Okay, Gavin and I are still here. We're still here till 6 o'clock on FUBAR Radio. We will see you in a bit. To FUBAR Radio. Gavin and I are here until 6 o'clock. We've had some incredible guests. Their stories are just brilliant. I'm so happy they all came in. And we now have our final guest. There is no pressure for him to be absolutely perfect. Welcome, Marcus Speller.
Yes, Marcus.
Afternoon, everybody.
Oh, God.
Afternoon.
Oh,
you know, they always say, you know, best till last, all that kind of stuff. And clearly,
oh, that's the one.
Clearly today is no exception.
There we go. Marcus, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're up to, what's going on.
Well, if anybody out there in the pantheon of listeners, if that's the right word, knows me, it will be probably through Football Ramble Daily.
Got it.
That's where I tend to to make my monies. Yeah, Football Ramble has been going for many years. The podcast Football Ramble. It's now Football Ramble Daily. We branched out.
Okay.
6 days a week.
Wow!
Indeed. Well, it's under the umbrella of Football Ramble Daily. Various shows, and I do a few of them. But Football Ramble was where it all began. Yeah. On our MySpace page 12 years ago.
Yeah.
That's how long I've been in the podcast game.
You're a legend of the game.
A legend. That's very kind of you. A veteran, an old man of the game, whatever you want to call it.
Ibrahimovic of the game.
There's Zlatan Ibrahimovic of the podcast world. Just an awful lot shorter. although I did bump into him in the Armani Club in Milan once upon a time.
Oh, wow, the Armani Club in Milan.
It was Fashion Week. I don't know what on earth I was doing there, but I was the only person in there in a Czech shirt.
No, the one you're wearing today?
It wasn't the one I'm wearing today.
Are you sure about that?
I'm very sure.
Did you get kicked out?
I do know what? The Russian fashion designers that I'd befriended that day managed to keep me in there. But yes, so where was I? Football Ramble. Yes, I do Football Ramble. I do another podcast as well called Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers.
I've listened to some of
have
this.
Have you actually?
Yeah.
That's very good of you.
About 4 seconds of it.
Do you
really
know what?
Good.
That's about 3 seconds more than your average listener. Way. So I appreciate that.
I listen to it. I love it.
Excuse me, everybody.
I love it, seriously. I think it's a brilliant, brilliant concept.
Thanks, Gav.
I think that the subjects you tackle are mm-hmm. really, really good. And I haven't...
Stick to the script I've written, yeah?
The one that I saw that I didn't really clock until just now was how do you define a good wedding? And that was one of your shows, wasn't it?
What makes a good wedding
for you?
What
makes a good wedding, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, one not too far away.
Hang on, so question. This is a wedding as a guest or wedding?
As a guest.
As a guest.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So what does make a good wedding?
Do you know what? I'm delighted you've asked me that because I've got a wedding coming up in a few weeks. And and I was asked to do a particular role. And this role is crucial in a wedding. You've got to have an MC. A good MC, obviously. You've got to have an MC at a wedding.
Okay.
And I will
okay.
be an MC in a few weeks' time at a friend's wedding.
Okay.
You've got to have someone talking people through the day, when to sit down, when the meal's coming, when this is coming, because otherwise we'll be, hang on, what's going on? I don't understand. Have someone there who knows what they're talking about, knows their onions, and can talk you through the day. It makes such a difference.
I've only been to three weddings in my life. And
have you?
Because I'm so young, you see, I'm not at that age yet.
Clearly you are. So I went to 11 in one summer once.
I'm a child.
And 7 the next year. Isn't that ridiculous?
That's crazy.
Absolutely madness.
Insanely popular.
Sorry, Cece, I interrupted you there.
No, it's fine. Don't you worry about it.
All right, I'll carry on.
Well, no, I was going to say, but that is... I completely get what you're saying, because the best man speech is kind of that MC moment, and that's the only part of the day that you get to kind of flow and talk to and go into something.
Yeah.
So to have someone there... I think that just makes so much more sense. I mean, do people pay you for this? Is this like...
No, because I've been doing it for friends' weddings, but you have given me an idea.
Okay.
And regrettably, I've already agreed to do this one.
Pimp you out.
Indeed, but I must say, on Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, our first ever podcast on that was, what would you do? The question we asked is, what do you do if you turn up on a first date and the date is already hammered? And actually, in the intro, when I'm talking about this, I talk about the programme First Date.
Oh, look at this guy's good.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Just keep your finger hovering over that button because there's probably a few more to come. But we do, because I was always quite fascinated on how people, when they arrive on that program, they should I have a drink? Settle the nerves.
Yeah.
What do you do if you turn up and they're already hammered?
Well, I'm going to throw that back at you. You've talked about it on your podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is your opinion on that? And also the levels. Let's talk about how drunk.
Yes.
We like.
Yes. They can talk. They can function. But it's kind of like, clearly, who they are may be lost somewhere in that haze of drunkenness.
Got it.
They might not do themselves the best service that evening.
Got it.
So if you've got quite high hopes for this person, and you think to yourself, do you know what? It's a bit of a rough. Generally speaking, doing a mini straw poll, men would be like, oh, make sure that they're okay.
Uh-huh.
You get them in a taxi or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, men were a bit like that.
Really?
I asked decent men.
I was going to say.
We're not talking about... we're not going down that road, Cece. Come on here.
Yeah? The only people I know, sorry.
You're thinking to yourself, this is Foo Bar Radio. This is
exactly.
Not the BBC, so we want... They were the answers. Because I'm not mates with scumbags. And also...
oh, Gavin, we can't be friends anymore. Oh, God, shit.
and... But women were more like, get the hell out of there.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're right, actually. As a woman, you would think, oh, great, brilliant. Look who's turned up. Absolutely fantastic.
It's Gav Ramjoan and he's drunk again.
Yeah, exactly. It would just put you off. But the guys you're talking to, I think they're giving you the correct answer, not the one that actually what they... Come on, you wouldn't surely be like, hey, she's drunk, she's coming back with me tonight.
There was a reason why I asked mainly my friends who go to my church, Cece.
Oh, here we go.
So that's
every
why,
Sunday.
That's why we got the good answers.
It would be off-putting, though, to have someone who is just completely off their, you know, whatevers, just can't function, can't
someone
talk.
Someone off their eyelids.
Off their tits, I think the word you're looking for.
Absolutely off their fingernails.
I'm trying not to swear. I don't like swearing. It's just like, oh, I don't know.
Say a swear word.
No.
Oh, come on, Gavin.
I can't, no.
Go on, Gav. Swear.
I don't even know him anymore. I don't like to swear. Come on, Gavin.
Seriously. You've known Gav for a while, haven't you?
I have.
Well, we've known each other for a while as well.
Who's known him longer?
I met you about 5 minutes ago.
All right then.
But I tell you what, it's been a bloody good 5 minutes.
Good.
To know you, Cece.
Impressions.
Really
impressions.
Damn right,
I'm
absolutely.
Not drunk yet.
Yeah. Exactly, but maybe just through osmosis for old drunky, boozy Gav there. You could be. You know.
Yeah.
Gavin.
One of the other great episodes as well, Marcus, on your show. You see how I did that? You see how I did
drunkenness.
Was how to debate with people on social media.
Oh, yeah. Is it worth getting into debate on social media? Was one of the questions.
Good question.
Yeah. That was a good one because it's difficult to engage with an idiot, isn't it?
I appreciate you talking to me right now. But it was interesting.
Not you, particularly. You know what I mean, though?
He's very kind. Yeah. The three of us, my co-hosts on that, Chris and Sarah, we all kind of fall different sides of the fence. I don't think it's worth getting involved in a debate on social media. I can't be bothered with all that. Mm-hmm. In the pub, face to face, yeah, absolutely. Not heated, of course. Yeah,
no,
life's too short.
Of course not.
Life's too short. But on a first date, yeah, get into it. You know what I mean? Chris said he was quite engaged. He likes to engage in a debate. But
really?
in a kind of friendly adult sort of way. And then Sarah said, oh, she likes to, and then gets cold feet, and then...
Interesting.
And then backs away. So slightly different approaches there. What about you, Cece? You've got a lot of followers. Do you like to lay the smack down? Get those robust opinions off yours out there?
I'm quite careful with that because, it depends on my mood. If I'm in one of those walk away with your head up high moments, then I will walk away with my head up high.
Uh-huh.
But if I'm, it's a certain time of the month and I'm slept well, I've got a hangover, no.
Stick the boot
absolutely
in.
Not. You're getting it. And also, these guys that seem to be writing on my social media aren't idiots. They've got something good to say. So then I'm like, you're annoying. You're even more annoying. You're intelligent. You're insulting me in an intelligent way.
That's frustrating.
So I've got to think of something. I've got to go on Google now and find a way to insult you, but I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
It's hard work.
It's a bit annoying. You can enact the Godwin's law, which says the guy Godwin, he basically came up with this theory that in any kind of social media debate, you're always about five arguments, I think, from someone mentioning like the Nazis or something, going, I mean, just like Hitler, it's kind of like ends arguments. It's like, oh, that's just rubbish. That's just not grown up at all.
Boring as well.
It's very boring.
Yeah, I want proper,
and usually inaccurate. Someone who, maybe is a bit sort of, I don't know, is not sure if Brexit's a good idea or not, doesn't necessarily support the Third Reich. Do you see what I mean? So there's a bit more nuance going on, I think.
Well, on my page there is definitely on my page.
I would say so.
My followers are brilliant. Yeah,
they sound good.
They are.
Yeah. You know each and every one of them by name, presumably.
I do.
Uh-huh.
110,000.
Oh, there we go.
Know.
And that is the end of today's FUBAR.
Gavin tells me that you're a little bit of let me word this correctly.
Yeah, please do.
He says that you can kind of get yourself out of any situation. You're quite good at like. Sort of not a blagger, but like a blagger, just kind of able to just.
I've got myself in here, haven't I?
Exactly.
Can I get out of it though? That is the trick.
Yeah.
And I just was intrigued by this.
Well, I don't know what he means by that.
Well,
basically,
what do you mean?
What I was saying was that you can throw anything at Marcus. He's such a kind of clever wordsmith that he knows kind of how to navigate conversations.
This. What does he want from you?
This is it. No.
What are you doing?
No, I think this is what I meant by that was that
you've had your hug for the day.
It's basically he's a smart cookie. He knows what he knows how to play the game. He knows like what to say, and he's just very, very clever.
It's all luck rather than judgment.
No, no, but I appreciate it though, man. I appreciate it. I think it's a skill.
What are you going to throw at me now?
No, I'm not throwing anything. I was just saying, like, we can come at you with anything, and you'll be cool. Basically,
go on then.
Anything. No. We didn't have anything prepared. But I was going to say, have you been in a situation where you can talk about a time where you've talked yourself out of something, like, I don't know, or you've got to a nightclub and there's a queue of 2,000 people because it's such a good club, and you've gone to the front and been like, yeah, I'm someone and I know Dave. And then they're like, oh, who's Dave? Yeah, you know Dave. And then you just talk through it and
I don't know if Gav's talking about that necessarily. Are you? No, I mean, I did once get into a club which is no longer there in Bournemouth once, but my mate and I literally just snuck past about 3 levels of security and got in.
How did you do that?
They're not looking quick.
Oh, so it was like it was blagging away.
Yeah, but
like...
blagging, I don't know. I mean, I think Gav has basically worded that very, very nicely to essentially say, I talk a lot of crap.
No.
And I sort of managed to make it sound perhaps mildly interesting. I don't know.
Not in the slightest. Not in the slightest. What it was, I think what I was saying was just.
Digging.
You can navigate any conversation, basically.
Okay.
And it's just like, I'm just impressed with how you can do it
on
so many levels.
That's very
and it's
of
you. Just, it was just like, I was, you know, we're obviously talking about, you know, how we're going to like sort of approach our chat and stuff,
and I was just thinking,
yeah, man, you can handle anything, so it's quality. So
I appreciate
we
that.
Were thinking, like, can we get like a blagging line in there somehow? We have blagged something into wherever, but
I've done that before.
You must have done.
Yeah, I've done it loads of times. Oh no, just like got like things like that. Gone to the front of the queue and said I've got a ticket when I haven't. Oh, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'll say it anyway.
Go on.
So I. Oh God.
Come on, you can't do that. You can't.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I won't use something. So, I went to a festival, probably the most well-known festival in the UK. Let's just amp it up a bit. And I went to the ticket office and said, oh, my agency have got some tickets for me, me and plus six.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, oh, okay, who's your agency? Told them who my agency was. And I'd got my friend to change her email address. So she sent me an email as we're like drunk in the queue saying, CC plus six people on the thing. And showed them the email and in I go. VIP tickets.
Then
my name was not on that list.
Was it like VIP department at hotmail.com?
See,
it's fine.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm the blagger.
Do you know what though? I think we're blagging and I'm going to. Oh, this sounds sort of quite self-righteous, but
here we go.
I really don't like lying to people.
No.
That's not really a lie.
No, I know that's not, so I don't want to do you a disservice there. I think, maybe to tap in what Gav's saying, if like my wife and I have bought something or whatever, if something needs to be returned or they're you know, and the expiration date's gone, but we want to get our money back, I'll be like, oh, come on, you know, I may be sweet talking, that kind of thing, or if we need to get a new deal on the phone or the internet or something like that, I'll be the one who my wife will be like, you talk to them, you know.
Got it.
So maybe it's a bit more that territory.
I see.
Okay.
Totally right, man. Do you know another one that I really loved on your podcast AQQA as well, is hair really important?
Yeah, that's right.
Because that one is something that I just think we were talking about it before
we came on.
Yeah. And it's just like, is it actually that important? Is it a big deal? What is it? Does it define you? Does it make you who you are?
Well, so you've got a lady on your show, your co-host, right? So I'm sure there's a massive difference between what she said and what you guys said.
Why do you think that?
Well,
looking at my hair, you're thinking, well, you can't value it that much.
That's exactly what I was thinking. And he's a mind reader. He's a blagger and a mind reader.
Hey, I watched this today. Okay, thank you very much.
Good, it looks shiny.
Thanks. Only with conditioner. You don't need shampoo.
Really? Who told you that?
Nature.
Oh, gross. Oh, that's disgusting. There just like slick ricking it.
Slick ricking it? Does it look slick to you? Come on. Don't be nasty.
I'm not, but it looks...
You know that thing they do when you kind of... When you don't wash your hair after a certain amount of time and they say it kind of...
washes itself.
Yeah. It's true.
Who told you that?
I tried it.
You try?
Yeah.
Trying it right now?
Okay. Honestly, I promise you.
How does it smell?
Ask my wife. She's still with me. She hasn't left me.
Well, because you know, like, hair's got that.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably the worst smell when it's going through that process. It's
all right,
like,
Sissy, you've laid down the gauntlet. Come and have a sniff of my Barnet. Do you want to?
No, I'm honestly fine.
See,
thank you so much.
The conditioner sorts that out. I promise. If you get good conditioner, it'll sort that out.
But that doesn't make sense. You don't wash it, but you wash it with conditioner.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, take shampoo out of the equation.
Why would you do that though?
Because you don't need it. Because your hair, all that stuff, it takes all the natural oil.
So currently,
your
hair has just got conditioner in it.
That's right. Doesn't it look magnificent?
Long has this been going on?
About 3 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I kind of get what you're saying there, because it doesn't look like I would expect, like, really slick and greasy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It just looks semi-slick and greasy. Just... Not
so bad.
I've got to be honest, because I complimented Gavin earlier on his hair.
His hair,
so if I
good.
Start saying that your hair looks good, we're going to know that I'm lying to Gavin.
Don't you lie. Both hairdos can be good. But the chat is hair important, because on one level, he's not really. And of course, people go bald. And that doesn't mean to say that they're, you know, losers or anything like that. I might go bald one day. I'm sure I will. But then you actually start looking at a few examples from history. And you say, well, actually, you know, in communist China years and years ago, women would have a certain style of haircut, which they called the liberation haircut.
Okay.
And it was a sense of their own individual freedoms, and it was, you know, a little bit of girl power, that kind of thing. And, and it was a statement. Look at your punks in the 70s. It was a statement.
Yeah.
So hair can be very important on some levels.
Yeah.
There are examples on a more kind of somber note throughout history of people shaving women's hair to disgrace them.
Wow.
So it shows you. Wow. And look at when, if you've ever, I use the example of the film Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen that at the start, it's a military film, Vietnam War film. At the start of the film, you have all the new recruits, and it's just them getting their heads shaved.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is for, I don't know, 30 seconds, a minute, or however long it goes on that scene. Just loads of young men just getting their heads shaved. And it's a taking away of individuality.
Yeah.
So if you look at it on some levels, of course, hair's not that important, you know.
Yeah.
But on other levels, well, actually.
That's very interesting.
You see? You know?
It is, isn't it?
Very true. Jeez. Very true.
You see. Very true indeed.
Something for us all to ponder there.
I think so. Some people are just defined by how they are with their hairstyles, aren't they? I used to be like that.
Yeah.
Jeez, you saw the old picture of me with the old braids.
You look fantastic.
That was me for like 10 years.
Well, I can't work out with it.
No, you did. Gav used to have braids.
Yeah, that's just true. But was that he looked great? Was that an insult or was that...
It was a positive reflex.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think your hair looked like? Now you look back at that picture. By the way, Gavin had blonde braids. Like,
yeah.
And it took how long did you say? 6 hours?
Six hours
of braiding.
Well, I just think it's important to do something that no one else is doing. You know?
To be fair.
Sometimes that can be, you know, a great piece of individuality.
I had my moment. I dyed my hair red and thought it was okay to have the fringe blonde with a red bit over the top. And I decided that slicking it to my forehead looked cool.
Is that right?
Slicking the blonde.
So dyed a pillarbox red, like strong red.
Interesting.
And then I had a short fringe here, like a bit like a Dumb and Dumber. You know, the
Lloyd Christmas.
That was blonde, and that was stuck to my forehead with a red bit coming over the top, like a spider.
Yeah.
Also gelled, but not stuck to my head. I thought I looked cool, and my best friend was my hairdresser, which makes it worse.
Blimey, how long ago was this?
It was about 10 years ago, 8 years ago.
Okay.
It was cool at that point.
Blimey.
I promise.
No, I'm sure nobody's interested, though.
It's very interesting.
Have you got a photo of this?
Yeah, I got loads.
Put it on your Insta.
Disgusting.
Come on. Give the people what they want.
I'd literally have to create a new account. It's disgusting.
So hair is very important to you then, Cece.
Honestly, it's really, really gross. Marcus, what else can we tell? What are you working on other than your podcast?
So, I mean, obviously the podcasts are the main thing that I do, but I just do sort of odds and sods, really, where I can. I mean, if there's... You know, I'm a bit of a gun for hire. So, I am available for corporate work, if anyone's listening.
Okay. Like what?
So the other week I hosted a Q&A at a football, sort of a football festival kind of thing, you know, which was very good. A documentary all about the state of the game and blah, blah, blah. So that's quite enjoyable stuff, just getting into the nuts and bolts of football and where it's going wrong, where it's going right, what are the concerns we have and so on.
Is this how you know Gavin then, through this, the football world? Is this...
Well, it was the television channel London Live.
Mm.
Yes.
Indeed,
For those poor souls who don't live in the London area, didn't receive that television goal. but that's where we met, indeed, yeah.
Okay.
But it was a lovely time, and I mean, he's a very lovely chap, is Gav.
Gav is great. He's brilliant. Yeah. I love he's just standing there laughing, like he's like, I don't know what to say. You can't work out what we're going to pull it from next.
No, it's all good. No, I appreciate it. No, thank you very much. And you are, Marcus, as well. You are as well. You're a dream to work with, mate. Seriously.
You see, and he's back to the script.
I know. Every time he's like, shit, they're going to insult me. I'm just going to keep going back.
Now, where are you originally? originally from, Cece?
Oxford originally.
Are you just?
I am just, yeah.
Lovely part of the world, Oxford.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Do you know what? I was reading something only the other day. In fact, it was earlier on the way here about... it was a vicar who did his vicar training in Oxford, now lives in London. And he was saying one of the big differences he found from Oxford and London was London people... there's a bit of an air of people prizing... sort of possessions and money and status a bit more. As in Oxford, they're less interested in that. It's more about intellectual property.
Right.
If you see what I mean, how smart you are, which would go with the university thing.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that? As an Oxfordian?
So, Oxfordian, I've been back to Oxford probably 10 times in the last 11 years. So yeah. I would call myself...
You were there for the unveiling of the statue, weren't you? That kind of thing. You know.
I could, honestly.
Yeah. Have they not erected a statue of you yet?
11 years ago, I was a different person.
Were you?
I was a blagger.
I was
a blagger 11 years ago.
There must be like a little blue plaque up there somewhere. Cece Coleman lived here, used to drink here.
Cece
binged here.
Yeah.
Park bench.
With Mad Dog 2020. Does any of you ever remember that?
I'm not a drinker, so I sadly don't.
Do you remember Mad Dog 2020?
That was more of a special brew kind of guy.
Special brew, yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, special brew. I don't remember Mad Dog, no.
No. Well, look, Marcus, I'm so sorry. We have to finish now.
No,
I'm sorry.
I'm protesting. Another hour.
You have been brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Where can we find you? Where can we follow you?
At AQQA Pod on Twitter is Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. On iTunes and wherever you get your pods, all that kind of stuff. And Football Ramble Daily as well.
Football Ramble Daily.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Marvellous. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, well, that is it from me and Gavin. Thank you so much for having us as well. We've had a ball of a time.
Yeah, it's been fab. It's been brilliant, hasn't it? Yeah, it's been
a Gavin,
blast.
Where can we find you?
At Gavin R Official on Instagram and at Manzilla Online for my new men's online podcast and news network.
Incredible. Yeah. And you can find me at @CC_Coleman. Have a lovely evening. Take care. All the best.
Sometimes I feel like throw my hands up in the air. I know I can count on you. Sometimes I feel like saying, Lord, I just don't care. But you got the love I need to see me through. Sometimes it seems the going is just too rough.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.